Thank you so much, Angela. Well, good morning, church. Let's stand together and let's begin worship. Joy this morning, church. Amen. It's so good to see you this morning. Welcome to worship. I'm Sean Sherwood. I'm the Associate Pastor of Music and Worship, and I'm so thankful you're here this morning. We got to celebrate baptism in our first service. It was an amazing time of worship, and we're glad you're here for our second service. Those of you watching online, thank you for joining us in worship. And if you're our guest this morning, thank you for visiting with us. We ask you that you take your phone and scan the QR code behind me or on the screen on the pew in front of you, just so we get to know you a little bit better. And at the end of the service, we have a special gift for you on the Welcome Center. But I want you to take a few moments right now and greet somebody around you this morning. God has done for us. Listen to the words of the song.
I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is
is registered in heaven. Will you sing with us? Come on. I believe in signs.
I believe in signs and wonders. I get resurrection power. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. My praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony of death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Come together, sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Our God will finish what He started. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
I love this next part. It says, if I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. And we believe that this morning. You believe that, church? Amen.
If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe.
Sing it out.
If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe.
This is my testimony. Sing it out.
This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
Are you thankful for that this morning, church? Amen.
Seated on
sing this together.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy,
so thankful you are here. We're grateful for the presence of the Lord that's in this place. There is certainly a theme of His holiness and that He is worthy to be praised. And maybe you're here today and this is your first time. We welcome you. Maybe you're watching today online. We welcome you. We pray that wherever you are, that you feel the presence of the Lord, and whatever you're going through, to know that God promises to be with you and to be with me. He gives us a supernatural strength and power to get through whatever it is we're going through this morning. But here in this place, we invite you, if you are able and you feel led by the Holy Spirit, to come pray at this altar. You may kneel, you can stand, from where you are, however the Holy Spirit leads you. I invite you to come join me as we lift up our prayers together. Would you come pray with me today? May we pray together. Father, we bow with humble hearts and grateful hearts for just how great you are. You are worthy to be praised. Worthy is the Lamb of God who was slain for our sin. How could we ever repay you? How could we ever thank you enough except to commit our lives to you? To say, we'll live for you, the one who died for me. And not only who died, but rose from the grave to show we have victory over sin, victory over death, victory over pain and suffering. So God, we give you all praise and glory. God, this morning we lift up folks at this altar, people praying from their seats, people praying, God, watching online today. We ask, God, that you would meet us where we are in our depression, in our loneliness, in our grief, in our suffering, our pain. Father, I pray this morning a special prayer for the Webster family and the loss of Annie over the weekend, and pray that you would comfort them, and may they feel your presence and your peace and love, God, in their loss. Father, we pray for other families that are dealing with health issues, whether it be in the hospital, Lord, or maybe, God, in hospice care at their home. We ask, God, that you would touch them and anoint them with your healing power and your Holy Spirit. And if it be your will to bring complete healing, that you would be glorified and the people might be saved as a testimony of your divine power. Father, I pray for relationships that need healing today. We pray for families that need to be restored. We pray, God, for people's financial situation, that you would provide, oh God, to meet every need. We pray, oh God, for continued prayers upon our country and upon our leaders. We pray, oh God, for spiritual awakening and renewal. We pray for revival to break loose. And Lord, we know ultimately that begins in each of our hearts. And I pray, God, if there would be any sin in me, any unconfessed sin, Father, that my heart would be right with yours, that our hearts would be right with your heart, God. Forgive us and cleanse us and purify us. Help us to be holy, not holier than thou, but to be holy because you are holy, to be set apart, to be different than the world. Lord, I just thank you so much for this church and for the love we share and your spirit that's evident in this place. May we never take you for granted. May we never take your Holy Spirit for granted. But may we humbly acknowledge you in all of our ways, knowing that you'll make straight our paths. So, Father, we just ask now that your Holy Spirit would just continue to move. And Lord, if there's someone in this place or watching and they've never given their heart and life to Jesus, may today be the day of salvation for someone. May someone come boldly at the end of this service to profess their faith and to confess their sin and allow you to forgive them, oh God. So we love you and ask now that you would continue to sing and play through our musicians and speak through your word and through your servant, that our hearts might be changed, transformed to be more like Jesus, in whose strong and holy and precious and powerful name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, to some verses that I know are probably familiar to you and some in past times we have gone through, but they're so powerful, so applicable, so relevant every moment of every day. And then after the reading of God's Word, would you be in prayer for our choir and instrumentalists as they come to lead us. Begin with verse 28 of Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you so much, choir, and our musicians for leading so beautifully. What a great medley of songs that we all know and appreciate. Thank you so much for being here today and allowing the Holy Spirit to be in this place. I shared at the early, I always like to share a little humor before the message to get you ready to hear more important things. And years ago, I had the privilege of being in a prayer group with the late founder and pastor of Southland Christian Church, Wayne Smith. Some of y'all might remember Wayne Smith, that big laugh of his and that gravelly voice that he had. And before we went into our prayer group one morning, Wayne said, "I don't know if you've heard this joke or not." And I won't talk like him the whole way, Kelly, so. But he said, "Did you hear about the elderly lady that was arrested for stealing a can of peaches?" And I said, "No, I haven't." He said, "Well, she was brought before the judge, and the judge asked the elderly woman, how many peaches were in that can that you stole? And she said, 6, Your Honor. He said, then I'm sentencing you to 6 days in jail for each one of those peaches." Well, her husband was in the courtroom, and he was back behind her, and he raised his hand. And the judge pointed to him and goes, "Your Honor, she also stole a can of peas." And I laughed more at Wayne Smith laughing than I did the joke, I think. So, and if you don't understand that, when you can see me after and I explain the punchline. Last week, we began a sermon series called Victory in the Lord in 2024. We looked at the story of young David, shepherd boy, standing before the Philistine giant Goliath, and how through God's power and him having the courage to stand against this giant, God brought the victory over fear. And maybe you're here today and you have felt encouraged as you have faced the giant of fear in your life. But today we stand in front of another giant, and it's not a Philistine giant, but this is a giant called discouragement. When you look in the dictionary, and if you look at the definition of discourage, it actually means to deprive one of courage, to be disheartened, to deter, to hinder. And we think about in the New Testament three different Greek words that were used to describe being discouraged or disheartened or dispirited. And many times they are translated to be faint or to be weary. And in our scripture reading today, we see a group of people, some Jewish people, that were desperately trying to find God, and they were desperately trying to do good. Yet they were faced with so many do's and don'ts of the externalism of the law of the Pharisees that they never could live up to the standards. You know, the Pharisees many times were self-righteous and legalistic in their law keeping. And as a result, these Jewish people who were longing for God could not ever live up to that standard. And as a result, they were weary, they were burdened, they lived with guilt, because some scholars have said that there were over 600 laws regarding what you could or couldn't do on the Sabbath. Can you imagine trying to keep all those laws and how they would fail, I know, miserably with their trying to keep up with all the laws. But as a result, they were weary and burdened. It's possible you're here today and you find yourself weary and burdened. You keep trying to do right, but you keep messing up. You so desperately want to do what God would have you to do, but it seems like around every corner you fail. And maybe your life today isn't what you had hoped for or planned for it to be at this stage in your life. And maybe you have been wanting change, but the change hasn't come. And you're wondering, when is the change ever going to come? When are things ever going to get better for me? When am I going to find answers? When am I going to find rest and peace? And that's really what Jesus offers in this passage. It's a gracious invitation to people who find themselves longing for rest, the kind of rest only that God can bring. People longing for peace, the only peace that God can bring. People looking for joy, the only real joy that God can bring. And maybe this message is for you. I know it's for me. It's for all of us who are willing to accept the invitation from Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you, like these people, find that you are fatigued. You are fatigued. We look in our scripture, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Again, Jesus makes this invitation to everyone. It's not for a select group. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I think about in scriptures, many times we would see Jesus giving an invitation to come. Do you remember when he called his first disciples, Peter and Andrew, as they were fishing? And you remember Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," or fishers of people. And then Jesus was establishing the cost of discipleship in Luke 9:23, in which we shared a couple of Sundays ago, when he said, if anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. He was saying, if you're serious about accepting the invitation and coming to me, then there must be self-denial. There must be a commitment and dedication, and there must be a willing obedience. And the difference in what Jesus was offering and what the Pharisees offered through the keeping of the law is those laws would be burdensome and cause oppression, and what Jesus was offering was actually a blessing and brought freedom. And that's what he offers to you and to me today. For us to be able to accept the invitation and to come to him just as we are. I think about what David the psalmist said in Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And maybe you're here today and you find again that you're just flat out drained. You are drained physically, you're drained emotionally, you're drained mentally, you're drained relationally, you're drained financially, you're drained spiritually. And you don't know what to do. You're at wit's end. But yet Paul wrote in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Maybe you've been on the verge because you've been so tired of giving up. I shared this at the early service. You know, we all in our lives need to create some margin. So many times we have good intention, but we get burnt out. We try to do things that we're not really able to do. We have unrealistic goals of things that we may or may not be able to accomplish, and we experience burnout. When I was just starting in ministry, I would never say no to anybody. I would all the time say yes to this and yes to that. When I started a family, when I got married, started having children, I had to learn to say no. Because you can't always be everywhere and do everything. So you've got to create some margin, and maybe that's what you need to do in your life today. You got to be willing to say no to things that are insignificant. You need to make sure your goals are set on the right thing or the right person, and be able to establish that rest that God desires for you and for me. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, or we live by faith, not by sight. And so the invitation to come is really to walk by faith, not to look at your situation and be overwhelmed and consumed and weary when we look at the big picture, but to experience the faith and the rest that Christ really offers. I don't know if any of you ever listened to, Bible, audio Bible before you go to bed, or might be Christian music or a podcast, or do any of y'all ever listen to kind of put you to sleep, right? Just gives you that gentle peace as you get ready for bed. I've shared this story on many occasions, but I guarantee you there'll be someone here today that hadn't heard it, or somebody watching. It's too great of a story. It's worth repeating. I've shared with you all that years ago, I'd go visit a shut-in. She, at the time, was our oldest member. Stella Wilson was 99 years old when she went to be with the Lord. As a matter of fact, our Phil Wilson, who usually runs our screens and computer, he and his wife, Rebecca, just had a baby girl this past week, and they named her Stella. And I know it had to be in memory and honor of his late grandmother, Stella Wilson. But when I go see her over there at Cardinal Hill Subdivision, she was always so gracious and kind. Well, hello, Brother Todd. I thought you forgot about me. And she would just hug me and kiss me on my cheek. And really, the whole visit, she was just holding on to my arm and my hand, just as sweet as she could be. And y'all have heard me share this story, and it's great. She said, you know, Brother Todd, some nights I just can't sleep. And you know what I do? I get up out of my bed, and I go get my cassette player. And parents, you can explain again to your children what a cassette player is. I'll go get my cassette player, and I'll put in the funeral service you did for my late husband, Sanford. And once I begin to hear you preach, it puts me right to sleep. True story. That's true. And I'll say, and I remember I would say, well, thank you. I think, Ms. Wilson, I'm not sure if I'm to thank you or what, but you know what I believe she was saying? She found comfort in hearing the Word of God, and she felt the peace hearing the message that was preached at her late husband's funeral. And I believe if we would allow God's Word to come into our hearts and in our minds, it might help us to go to sleep a little bit better and to rest in His goodness and in His glory. Maybe you're here today and you need to accept the invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Or maybe you're here today and you are frustrated. You're frustrated. Verse 29, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Take my yoke upon you. Now, he's not talking about an egg yoke. When he says, take my yoke upon you, it's not talking about an egg yoke, but a yoke would be that wooden beam that would be placed over a team of oxen or an ox, and they would have that ox measured and roughed out to the exact measurement so that it would fit well over that ox or that oxen that would pull the load. So when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, he's saying, team up with me, and I'm going to do the majority of the pulling of the load. You let go and let me have control. How many of us struggle with that today? We want to be in control, and we get tired from trying to pull the load. Jesus is sitting back saying, all you got to do is come to me, and I'll do all the pulling of the load. And that's what we need today. We need to, and some have suggested, tradition has suggested, that Jesus made the best ox yokes in all of Galilee. And some have said that potentially they've suggested that there was a sign over his carpenter's shop there in Nazareth that said, my yokes fit well. His yokes fit well. Well, for each of our lives, no matter the size or shape or age or race or past or present or future, his yokes fit well for us today. But some of us are here and we've been frustrated again because we've continued to find ourselves with wheels spinning in the same predicament. And that's what I've told you. Why do you expect a different result when you keep doing the same things over and over and over? I've told you, that's the definition of insanity. You keep doing the same things over and over, expecting a different result. Why won't we go to a zone instead of a man-to-man defense? I mean, anyway, sorry, I got carried away. Sorry. I mean, if you don't have the athlete to guard somebody, you got to do something different, you know. If you can't stop an out-of-bounds play under the basket where they're shooting, anyway, don't get me started on that. I mean, I can go all day on that. That's, sorry. But the fact is, why do we expect a different result when we keep doing the same thing over and over? We're always going to end up disappointed if we don't make the needed change. Now, change just for change's sake, I don't agree with. But when it's needed change, then we need to be willing to humble ourselves. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. This is a beautiful moment where Jesus is describing himself. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. What do we learn from Jesus? Well, we could be here for weeks, what we learn from him, but we learn the greatest two commandments in Mark 12, 30 and 31, when a teacher of the law said, teacher, out of all the commandments, all these, he was probably saying, out of all these laws we have, which one do I really need to know? Which one is really going to be most beneficial for me? Which one, if I can just tune out all these hundreds of others, which one is most important? And Jesus said, the most important one is this, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. He wants us to learn that from him today. He wants us to learn in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, which is known as the Great Commission, when he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And listen to this. Surely I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. He's with us always. He wants us to understand that when he left, he allowed the Holy Spirit to come in. And when we accept the invitation to come, we invite the Holy Spirit to come into our lives when we invite Jesus to come in. And then he blesses us with the fruits of the Spirit, found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are those fruit evident in your life today? Jesus said, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And then he set that moral and ethical standard in Matthew chapters 5 through 7 when he gave that Sermon on the Mount that so many people thought it was so, the expectation was so high that they didn't even think it could be achieved or accomplished. Remember, Jesus started in Matthew chapter 5, those Beatitudes. When he'd say, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then he went on to say, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He went on with these standards. That's what we are to learn from him. To love, to serve, to follow him, to be filled with the fruits of the Spirit, to have that standard. If we are blessed, the real joy that comes from obeying his word. And maybe you're here today and you are frustrated with your life. And again, you haven't seen what you had hoped you would see at this point in time. My prayer for you is to take his yoke upon you. Because again, it's not burdensome, it's a blessing. Let him have control. Give it completely to him today. And he will bring that rest you so deserve and desire. And then lastly, maybe you're here and you're experiencing failure in your life, failure. And the second part of verse 29, right into verse 30, he said, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls. Years ago, a bishop and theologian, St. Augustine, said that God created our souls to be restless until they find rest in God. Did you get that? God created our souls to be restless until they find rest in God. And maybe you're here today and your life is restless, and failure is universal, isn't it? There's not a person that's ever lived except one named Jesus, who lived over 2,000 years ago, who was the only perfect person ever to live. We've all had failure in our lives, haven't we? There's not a single person in here that hasn't experienced failure in one way or another. You failed maybe in a marriage relationship. Maybe you failed at a job. Maybe you failed in your schoolwork. Maybe you failed on a team. Maybe you failed, you feel like you failed as a parent. Or maybe you feel like you failed in your spiritual life as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, and you felt like a failure. And the devil likes to remind us of those times when we have failed. The Bible is clear in Romans 3:23. For all of us, all have sinned, failed, and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And here's the great news, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us or purify us from all unrighteousness. You can be forgiven. You don't have to live in guilt of your past mistakes. And you've heard it said, every time the devil reminds us of our past, you remind him of his future, because he has no future. And I pray today that we would hold to that promise. That we would hold to the promise, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you fatigued today? Are you frustrated today? Are you living in past mistakes and failure? The invitation Jesus gave to those Jewish folks is the same for us today. Come to me, He says. Can you see Him right now with His arms open? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Won't you come to Him? I want to close by reading a letter that I got some time ago. And, you know, this letter could be you. It could be many people. But it's a letter that maybe you can relate with in some form or fashion. Dear Lester family, this letter may be strange, but I need prayer. I do not feel comfortable telling you who I am because I am a very private person. But I know your family is a very righteous family, and any time a righteous person prays, I know God hears them. I want to stop right there to tell you, we're fellow strugglers just like you. We're all fellow strugglers. We try to do right. We try to please God. We try to live for Him. So I'm not putting on a show up here, but I want you to know we're fellow strugglers with you. It says, but I know your family is a righteous family and a person who prays, and I know God hears them. I pray continually for myself and my family, but I feel like I need help. But I'm too embarrassed to talk to anyone in person. But I know I need prayer more than anything. If you could just please pray for me to fix my financial worries. I have debt that I cannot seem to break. I need a miracle more or less. Please pray for that. I work hard every day. I am not lazy and I try to manage my money, but I just cannot seem to do things right to be financially stable. Every month there is something big that comes up and puts me back further. I can never save or get ahead. This is a huge burden that I cannot get past. I lose sleep. I worry. I'm almost at my wits' end trying to keep things straight. Please pray for my family to be happy. If I could have peace and strength, two easy words to say, but two of the hardest things to get and keep. I have total faith. I know if God wants me to have peace, strength, and financial peace, He will bless me. I keep praying for help, but I feel like I'm not a good enough person for Him to hear me sometimes. So this letter, which is a very cowardly way to do this, is my request for prayer. I ask for forgiveness all the time. I ask for help. I beg for a miracle. God's timing is perfect. I know this. But I feel so hopeless and helpless right now. I just need someone else to pray for me. Some people do not have any trouble asking for prayer. I see it all the time on Facebook and in emails and in person. But I do not feel comfortable talking about my personal life at all. So asking for prayers for things that are personal in my life is something I just cannot bring myself to do. So if you can just say a prayer for my circumstances of my life and my family to take a turn for the better and start improving so I am not scared and worried all the time, I would really be appreciative. I know in church sometimes they ask for private requests and people do not have to say out loud what they need prayer for, so I feel like this is similar to that. I hope I do not want to do anything wrong. I just need others to be praying for me. And if I can get my life straight, I can do so much to help others. I just know I have so much to offer, but right now I do not feel like a good enough person to help anybody. I need a miracle. Thank you. Heartbreaking letter, but so many of us maybe can relate. None of us are ever good enough. That's why it's called God's grace and God's mercy. And I guarantee on every pew there's somebody struggling like my friend who wrote this letter. And it's time to turn it over to the Lord and say, God, I come to you. I'm accepting your invitation to come. And I'm going to give my heart and my life fully surrendered to Jesus. If you've never done that today, it would be my honor to pray with you, and you can invite Jesus to come into your heart. Or maybe you're here today and you're a Christian, but you feel as this person did. You have faith, but you feel like the mountain keeps getting larger instead of being moved. And you know God can move that mountain, and He can restore you with His strength and power. Maybe you want to renew or recommit your life to Christ today, or maybe you're looking for a church home. I say it all the time. This is a wonderful church, a spirit-filled church, a loving church, but we are not a perfect church. And I'm sure not a perfect pastor, but we serve a perfect God. And if you allow Him to come into your life today, you'll never be the same, I promise. And He wants us to come just as we are with our baggage, our burdens, our weariness, our doubts, our fears, our guilt, our sin. He wants us just to come like we are. And He takes that burden off of us. Because His burden is light. So I'm going to invite you to come in just a moment as we pray together. I pray right now in the stillness of this moment. If, Lord, there are any people here today, men or women or young people. God, even young people get discouraged and frustrated and things don't work out as they hoped they would. But Lord, they and we all need to know that You promised to be with us and that You love us and that You forgive us. And Lord, that we can overcome this giant today of discouragement and You can bring us victory. You bring us victory. And all we have to do is come to You just as we are. Don't have to get cleaned up. Don't have to get it all figured out. Don't have to make a lot of plans. Just one step at a time, one day at a time. Lord, would there be someone who would accept You as their Lord and Savior today? Would they pray, confessing their sin, ask for Your forgiveness, and invite You to come in, and then be willing to follow through the waters of baptism? Would there be one or many? Lord, maybe there's a Christian that's grown cold and complacent. They've been injured in the line of duty. They've been hurt during the game of life, and they need to know, God, they are not forgotten, that we are called to pick one another up and to love one another and help carry one another's burdens as you carry ours. Oh, Lord, maybe there's someone looking for a church home. This is a field hospital for the sin, sick, and hurting, not a club for the righteous. We're all strugglers. We never feel good enough. We can never be good enough. That's why it's called Your Grace. That undeserved love, that undeserved merit that You give us. So, Father, may You just stir in the hearts of Your people, people that are desperately looking for You and desperately looking for a change in their situation or circumstance. Bring them today, Lord. Bring them. Help them to overcome discouragement. In the strong name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand and come if you're in this place. And it'd be my privilege to pray with you about your decision. Won't you come?
Just as I am.
Thank you so much for being here today and allowing the Holy Spirit to be in this place. I'm grateful for my brother in the Lord, Ron Durham, who came today to give God all the glory that 11 years ago he had a near fatal fall and took a blow to his head and had a brain bleed, that it was a miracle that he survived, and he wants to give God all the glory for saving him that day. And Ron, we celebrate with you and give him the glory. Yes. I'm so grateful this morning at the early service, as Sean already mentioned, we had three baptisms. One, Diana Robertson, who made her public profession a few weeks ago, and then a young couple that I met this past week that actually JT had invited her to church in the store, and they came, and as a result, I'm so grateful that AJ and Amelia Robbins, a young couple with two beautiful children, accepted Christ and were baptized at the early service and joined the church. So we give God the glory for that. And we also, yes, amen. And we also had a couple that joined at the early that many of you already know, Kurt and Doris Wallace. They came and united with this church and are so thankful to be a part of what God is doing. So God is moving, and we give Him all the glory. And if there's any of you that would like to meet with me, one of our staff, it'd be our privilege to pray with you about your decision. A couple of quick announcements. I know Sean has a couple. If you're interested in going to Winter Jam over at Rep Arena, you're going to meet at 2 o'clock here. So come see JT. He'll be out in the foyer if you would like to. And I believe Sean had a couple announcements.
Just two quick announcements. We have our Easter musical is coming up in just a couple of months. And just want to put it out there. If you would like to participate in that, some of you have mentioned to me in passing, if you wouldn't mind coming and seeing me at the end of the service, just so I can get some information from you. We're looking for every age, acting, singing. If you are, you know, carpenter, you have a skill of building sets and props and maybe you're a seamstress, you like sewing, we need costumes, things like that. Really would like to encourage you to be a part of it. It's going to be a lot of fun. The cast is already starting to get built this Wednesday night. If you don't have time to stay this Wednesday night, 7 p.m. in the choir room. We're going to meet and do just a real quick overview. I'd love for you to be a part of that. And then secondly, on February 25th at 6 p.m., it's going to be our first night of worship for 2024. And it's going to be a great night as a family coming together and just lifting up our Lord and Savior in song. And so I want you to make plans to be here for that. Our praise teams will be leading that. And it's going to be a really great evening. Invite somebody to be with you. It's just going to be a really special night.
Amen. Next Sunday after this service, we'll be going downstairs to Discover Forks. If you are a guest or a new member in recent weeks, we would invite you to come have a lunch on us. The staff will be sharing in their areas of ministry. You'll have a tour of the church. It'll be a great time. You don't want to miss. You can sign up. And then out in the foyer, there will be someone after the service taking names. Ladies, to sign up for the Devoted Women's Conference. Hard to believe. It's coming up quickly, the first weekend in March. And so if you haven't signed up, sign up and get your tickets while they last. Thank you so much for being here. Don't forget how much God loves you, and we love you too. We're going to sing, and then Deacon of the Week, Larry Perkins, will close us in prayer.
Let's sing this great hymn together.
Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee, God of glory, Lord above. Hearts unfold like flowers before Thee, opening to the sun.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You for bringing each and one of these people out today, God, that we just pray that they received a blessing, and God, that they will go out and sow these seeds out in the fields, dear Lord. We just want to ask You to protect each and every one of them and their family and put a hedge of protection around them and bring them back to this house safely, that they will be able to come in and continue to minister to You. We just praise You for our pastor and all those that in ministry here. We just want to praise You for everyone and thank You for the love that we have in this church. We praise Your holy, precious name. Amen.